The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Do, da, dip it in. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. I think you can get with this, because this is kind of fat.
9 o'clock in Chicago. Courtney Cronin in for my guy Hoodie. I'm David Kaplan, Shay, JC. Ready to rock and roll. Would you start Justin Fields Sunday? He was a surprising full participant in practice yesterday. Courtney will be up there today at around 1:45 when Matt Eberflus meets the media. We'll find out if he was again.
Yes.
So, should be interesting. What if he plays super well?
Then he heals faster than everybody else. Like, we can use the Jamar Chase thing. That the reason they didn't put him on IR is because he heals faster than the average person. We'll see, I guess. We'll know the degree of the injury for certain if he's able to play. I mean, either that or he has like an incredible pain tolerance that's even more than we thought it was.
Superpowers. All right, let's go back to the phones. Hallis and Kenosha, what's going on?
How's it going, Gap? How's it going, Courtney?
All good, man. What's up with you?
Hey, so I'm just having this thought. The couple callers ago talking about all the excuses for him. I don't think it's necessarily excuses so much as reason. He does not have the weapons other quarterbacks have. That O line is arguably one of the worst pass blocking O lines in the league. He just doesn't have the time or the weapons to pass. And I think if you give him that time, this is also his third system in as many years. He needs a little bit more time, whether he's not 100%, let's say you're 90 or 94. I think for morale, if he can go out there and slay the dragon that is the Packers, who we haven't beat in X amount of years, I think long term that will have more benefit than sitting him for this one game.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think there's some good points in there.
Thanks for the call, Hallis.
The benefit, like that's the short term versus the long term, what we've been talking about for a while now, ever since the injury. It's like, what's the worth of doing it right now, right? Of like letting him play this week, even if he is at full health. If he's not, obviously that comes into a different question. But I think there are things that he can learn from the sideline if he's not playing, don't you?
Yes. Absolutely. Like, especially when you're watching a professional like Trevor Siemian, who's a pro, not a great player. He's a pro. If you told me, Tim Boyle off the practice squad of the line, I don't know what he's going to learn.
Sure.
But,
and we don't know if Siemian right now has not practiced the last 2 days, so I doubt he'd be able to play. You know, that factors into it as well.
Yeah. So if he does, so if Justin does not go full go today.
Mm-hmm.
Who starts?
At this point, and that's interesting you asked that, because Luke Getsy said yesterday he hadn't even considered the quarterback depth chart with Tim Boyle in the addition there. I just can't imagine that somebody who just got here a couple days ago, in spite of the familiarity he has with Getsy, because they were in Green Bay, I believe, 18 through 20 together. Mm-hmm. I can't see Tim Boyle starting. I think it would be Nathan Peterman, assuming that Siemian is still working through this oblique injury and could not go.
Peterman over Boyle.
I think so. I really do. He was going to play in.
Well, he was there. They didn't have Tim Boyle.
They didn't at the time, but I mean, could have gone to David Montgomery, your emergency quarterback, if it really gets that bad.
Wow. Let's go back to the phones. Big C on the south side. Big C.
What's up?
Sup.
Man, Cap, no lie was detected with the lad, with the caller that said all this, Keisha. What was the lie detected?
Say it again. It's tough to hear you.
I said no lie detected. What was the lie then?
Where was the lie? Are you talking about the last caller?
No, I'm talking about the caller that said the excuses. Like Cap was telling them he's wrong.
I think he's wrong because I think he is not giving Justin credit for all he has had to deal with. If you go back and look, he's been pressured in the pocket at a higher rate than any quarterback since they started tracking it in 2009.
Okay,
50% of the time.
Okay, cool. Okay, you said something about the pros on his draft. Okay, I'm looking at it right now. I'm going to talk about the cons because you ain't said nothing about the cons, right?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, they say pocket awareness. Despite being a mobile quarterback, Fields has shown that he doesn't have great pocket awareness. Fields can have a tendency to be fixated on a receiver route to develop and not realizing when the pocket collapsed. That's
mm-hmm.
one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They say accurate on the run and RPO, that's a pro. Okay. Con, working through his progression. One of the knocks on Justin Fields is that he takes too much time working through his progression.
Yeah, because he got that much. And again, that has been.
Okay, but you say all about these pros that he was a running quarterback, he was a passing quarterback, all this.
Big C, we're losing you, man. You keep cutting out on us. Appreciate your call. I'm not telling you he's a finished product. Far from it.
The draft profile on NFL.com didn't either. It said his prospect grade, it's a 6.45, which is their scale, said will become a good starter within 2 years.
Correct.
I think last year, technically we're within the two-year stretch. You're starting to see him.
Correct.
In that vein, but there's still a lot of unknowns about him as a passing quarterback.
I think he would tell you, I've got things I got to get better at.
Absolutely. He's the first one to say that.
Yes. And then we also need to add three offensive linemen and two really high-level receivers.
I mean, the team was not built to win this year, so this is the product that you get when the circumstances are just that.
It was built to do what it's doing.
100%.
When you spend $90 million, I think it's $91 million, in dead cap money, you're paying what? How much? 40%, 45% of your payroll is going for guys to play for other teams.
Mm-hmm.
They pick their lane. Marine is next. What's up, Marine?
Hey, good morning, guys. I hope this call finds you well. I hope whoever's hearing my voice finds you and yours well as well.
Beautiful. You too.
So appreciate it. So I wanted to kind of mention how I think Justin Fields should actually play. I don't care if he's not 100%. I think anybody listening to my voice can agree that there's no better experience than experience. So he should get out there. I mean, if the guy's not open, throw it at his feet. If he's under pressure, throw it at his feet. And if he has to run, slide. I can't think of a better way for him to learn better than that.
The better way than that, you mean that he plays and he plays with no restriction?
Correct.
Agreed. Thanks for the call, Marine.
I mean, but he said he needs to play if he's 100% or not.
Oh, either way.
That's who, yeah. If he's not capable of operating the offense the way that he does play quarterback, he won't play.
Correct.
I mean, go back to the little things that you can pick up on from what he said last week. Somebody asked him, well, if you have to hand the ball off with your right hand, so it'd be like switching his body this way to hand the ball off to a running back instead of the normal way he does it, would you be able to play? He said, going to be honest with you, probably not. So if there's any sort of tweak to his operation, no.
You're out.
It's not going to happen. So, and I understand what you're talking about with experience. He's played through, but what's the experience of playing injured? What do you gain out of that except getting yourself more hurt?
Correct.
So, no, I don't think if he's, it's not an either way he's got to play sort of argument. If he's healthy, if he is medically cleared to play and there is no risk of re-injury or making this thing worse, you let him play. And you expect that he's going to be able to operate the offense the way that he does on a normal basis, not having to make this a truncated version of the playbook, so to speak, because he's injured or he's like still dealing with pain and having to compensate. You don't want him to compensate in this sense. You want him to be able to do what he would do if he didn't have the shoulder injury.
And what if their record was 9-3 and they're trying to run the Vikings down? That's a different scenario.
Yeah, completely different scenario.
Than this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Let's go to Ryan up in Skokie. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm going to start this out saying I actually really like Justin Fields, but to play devil's advocate and be a little cynical here, if they play him and he gets hurt and they got the number two draft pick, I mean, next man up, just draft the next quarterback, right, if that's what they want.
You're saying if he got injured in this game, and you, I mean, so you're saying like it'd be an injury where you'd put him out of consideration for next year, and then you'd already have the number two draft pick and you take a quarterback?
Yeah, you could. I mean, if they're already drafting people or bringing their own personnel that they want with this regime.
They want this kid to be their quarterback. They don't want a new quarterback.
Yeah, I think he's already the answer here. I think they found that out a couple weeks ago. So they wouldn't put him in harm's way,
correct,
knowing that he's the future of the
franchise.
Well,
if he gets hurt, we go get another one. That's not how it works.
No.
Absolutely not. Appreciate the call. They're not looking.
No.
No. Absolutely not. Let's see what Mike down in Mount Greenwood says. Hey, Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, Cap, love you, bud.
Love you.
So I got three questions real quick. I just want you guys to say agree or disagree. First of all, a smidgen of pain in that shoulder, not 100%.
Okay.
Agree.
Agree. Second of all, why risk it just because it's a home game against Green Bay? It's just because it's against Green Bay. That's why they're considering playing them.
I disagree with that. I don't think that the game itself,
yeah,
and who they're playing,
I
the magnitude of it,
agreed,
factors in. I think that's a fan thing.
Yeah, agreed. I don't think Matt Eberflus cares if it's Jacksonville, the Toronto Argonauts, or the Packers. He does not care.
Okay. The third question I was going to say is I think the Bears would have already announced that he's out through the bye, say, if they were playing Buffalo or Dallas this week.
Disagree.
Disagree. Not the way that they have operated here. I mean, they took this thing down to the wire with the Jets to give the perception that he was going to play. That's how they operate. If you listen to Matt Eberflus, everything is about competitive advantage. Now, we look at that and say, come on, you have three wins. Is it really worth going to the lengths of that? Yes, because...
Okay.
No, but let me finish. Because like, that's just how this group operates, and it kind of defies logic because you're thinking to yourself, this guy just separated his shoulder 7 days ago. Of course he's not playing, but they want to put the perception out there, and there is some validity to it. You don't need to have a guy save a guy to spy Trevor Siemian the way that you do with Justin Fields.
100%.
So that's the entire reason they dragged this thing out the way that they did. And I know it was annoying for fans having to be like, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? It's the topic of Chicago right now. But that's why they do that. And if it was Buffalo, if it was the Houston Texans, like no matter who it was, they were going to take the same approach.
Completely agree. Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate you. 312-332-3776. If he starts and he plays well, here's another great question. Would you rather beat the Packers or... Justin played really well, and we lost 28-27, and we get the draft pick status. Justin plays well, but we lose, or Justin plays just as well, and they win. Be right back.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Doing some college buckets. Courtney Cronin, before she heads up to Hallis Hall, is in for him. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. So I've got some questions that have come in for you.
Okay.
Ask CC, please. Do you think the decision on Fields, this is from Jim Miller over at Hawthorne, would be different if Trevor Siemian was 100% and they weren't stuck with Peterman?
No, I do not. I think that, I mean, because it's all based on him being a full participant yesterday. Trevor Siemian's injury had no bearing on whether Justin was going to be full or limited. So
if Siemian was 100%, they would still be judging Justin in the same lens.
Yes, because I think that Siemian or Peterman against Aaron Rodgers, you're probably getting the same result. I don't think again, and I'm trying to like bring this into the competitive advantage factor and this game and what it means. I don't think that any of that plays in. I think this is an isolated thing on its own. And Fields, I mean, he was a full participant because his shoulder allowed him to do everything required to take all of the first team reps and everything else that he was doing in practice. I don't think that Simeon, Peterman, Tim Boyle, emergency quarterback David Montgomery have any bearing on any of that.
Okay, and then my guy Mikey DiStefano says, rest him no matter what. You already know what he is.
So just, rest him for this game or for the rest of the season?
I think he means the rest of the season.
Because we hear...
But certainly this game.
We've heard rest him until after the bye. Because this team, unfortunately, is crashing and burning into and stumbling into the finish line here, the mini finish line with the bye at week 14. Think about all the other injuries they have. They need this bye so badly.
Why is it so late?
I don't know. Like, this is the latest I've ever had. And as a beat writer, like, I feel worn at right. this time of year.
Right.
And I can only imagine what athletes playing feel like. It's, I think the NFL should kind of dial back on that and have a bye week no later than 12, because this is basically the end of the season. Now, it is a competitive advantage. Let's say you're Buffalo, and they, what if their bye week was this week? That, and you're a team that's contending for a Super Bowl potentially.
Correct.
Great time to have the off week to get healthy. But for the Bears, they drew the short straw on this. This was the most inopportune time Awful. For them to have a week off.
Awful. 312-332-3776. So the question that we have now tailored is, if he starts and if he plays really well, wow, Justin looks amazing, you want to beat the Packers? Or no, I'll take 3-10 so I can keep the second pick in the draft. That's the question. Rob on the Southwest side. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Cap. Just want to give you some special thanks and a shout-out. I love your energy and your enthusiasm in the morning. It's inspirational.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man, and I love the self-improvement, all that good stuff. But I just want to talk about Justin really quick, and I want Justin to tell his coach the same thing that they told us about trading Roquan and Quinn. It's about the future of the franchise. This is what it's about. It's not about one game. It's not about the next game. It's not about the Packers. It's about the future of the franchise. And right now, the team is not equipped to win, and it's not equipped to protect them. So our best strategy is to follow the same strategy and the vision we've had, and let's build that franchise to win.
I completely understand where you're coming from. And again, I am not putting him out there unless he is as close to 100% as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. At this point in the season, I get that the bodies are banged up. That shoulder cannot have that much risk. Not that much.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to bring up a point. Someone tweeted this at us earlier. I think this came from Dave Todd about how he's going to compensate with his body for getting hit. Is it, you know, if he does get hit, because like it's or when? It's a matter of when.
Mm-hmm.
Where does he take it? Left shoulder, right shoulder, chest/back, or is he able to just like slide and get down? If you see him favoring a certain side or not being able to, you know, withstand any sort of hit to the injured area, how do you adjust to that in game? Let's say he gets
defensively or offensively?
Offensively for him. How do you, I mean, do you pull him? Do you put, like, if he's not, I mean, obviously he would have to like be
Justin,
in excruciating
pain. Justin,
why did
you look like you can't hand the ball off there and you turned your body like I've never seen?
Yeah. Those questions would come up.
I'm fine, coach. You're out.
Yeah.
Done.
But I mean, it'll be really interesting to see if he has to change anything. And it's even if he's at full health, you don't want to get hit in the same spot. Like guys with ACLs, like, I mean, you see when they come back, they're still a little gun shy in the way
nope.
that they cut and stuff like that. It's the same thing for any injury. You don't want to have that same affected area get affected again. So I'm really curious to see if he takes off and runs. Can he get out of bounds quicker? Can he slide when he's running over the middle of the field? First off, can he get some calls for a change? Because he should have gotten a call on that Grady Jarrett hit to the affected area on the second down play. I digress on that. But there has to be, and I think, you know, the officiating too, that has to be taken into consideration here. Because there have been multiple weeks where the Bears are sending in one, two plays a week to the league, being like, hey, how come he didn't get a call here? Let us know so we can, you know, teach the quarterback. I mean, and Matt Eberflus is very open and honest about that, because he isn't getting some of the same calls that other guys get at his position. And I don't think he's doing anything wrong.
I would like to see them bring someone in. This is not a shot at the coaching staff, that knows proper sliding technique.
So like
for a quarterback?
So someone in baseball?
Or a former quarterback. A friend of mine went to a coaching clinic, and the speaker was Jim Harbaugh.
Okay.
And he said, Jim Harbaugh, it's a gym. We're in a gymnasium filled. He said, I'm telling you, they're hanging from the rafters. They want to hear Harbaugh speak. And he comes in, he goes, you first of all need to teach your quarterbacks how to slide. And he takes off from the podium and goes sliding in his gear.
In his khakis?
Yeah, whatever he was.
He's probably wearing khakis.
Across the gym floor. Perfect. He goes, you want to talk about perfection on that slide. Bodies back, heads, yeah. Like perfect. And one of the coaches raised his hand for a quick, yeah, what's up? Coach, I was writing something down you said and I missed that. Could you do it again? And he did. He said, you talk about Justin would want to learn that slide. Jim, Matt Eberflus, when the season's over, could you meet with Justin?
I don't know if he would. He's an Ohio State guy and a Michigan guy. I don't know if you can blend the lines there. It's an ex-Bear, but which one holds more weight? I don't know. I mean, we used to perfect the John Elway slide at my mom's house on the couch cushions and break them down back in the day, but I don't think I have the proper technique. I couldn't teach him.
No. So we'll get Jim Harbaugh in here. 312-332-3776. Chuck's in Schaumburg. Charles, what's up, Sparky?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I am absolutely tired of everyone selling this narrative that there's something wrong with Justin. There's something wrong with every quarterback. Look at Trevor Lawrence. Look at anyone. You can find flaws. And I feel like these guys are saying, oh, well, there's something wrong with this one, so the next one will be fine. We got the number two pick. Those are the guys who are cheating on their wives, believing that there's something wrong with their wife, and the next one's going to be fine. There's nothing wrong with Justin. He's an NFL quarterback. And the idea that his stock was inflated because of the talent around him at Ohio State, and he actually isn't really that good, well, go look at Tua Tagovailoa, right? He was at Alabama with incredible talent, came in, was a bum. Guess what they did? Oh, we'll just go get you the talent that you had. And now guess what they're doing? Competing for championships. I don't understand it. Every single good quarterback has elite talent around him. Even Patrick Mahomes has Travis Kelce, Jamar Chase. What do you want Justin to do? This meatball narrative of Justin's not good enough because he's not elevating the talent around him is ridiculous.
Well said, Chuck. Well said, man. Caller of the day. Have a great weekend, okay?
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Appreciate you.
He's right. There is something wrong with every quarterback. No quarterback's perfect. Even Patrick Mahomes, for poking holes in his game going into this Bengals matchup, being like, wow, look what happened in the second half last year. Look at how the quarterback malfunctioned in moments. I mean, that happens to every quarterback.
Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, this is the perfect time to play this. So Mahomes was on the Kelce Brothers podcast yesterday, Jason and Travis, and he had a pre-draft meeting with Andy Reid. They worked him out, and then the next day, him and Andy Reid on the whiteboard for 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the story of how he aced the test.
The first day that I met Coach Reid was at the facility. We had like the meetings, like the top 30 visits. So I was in there for like 5 hours. He's just going
grilled.
Through plays, going through plays. And I'm going to give you all the inside scoop. Matt Nagy, who was the offensive coordinator then, he really liked me. So he gave me the plays they were going to go over the night before. So Coach Reed's finding out here live on New Heights podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Matt Nagy! How could you?
Let's go.
And yeah, so of course I crushed the meeting. I stayed up all night studying those plays.
It's like, man, this kid is locked in. We got ourselves a winner here.
As the process went on, I got a feeling that I was kind of going up in the draft. I had a couple of teams that said they were going to draft me, and I mean, that's true. Like, it's not like these coaches are making that up. I talked to them during the draft process, and they were like, hey, if you're there, we're gonna take you. I kind of gave a little inside info to the Chiefs, and I was like, hey, if y'all let me go anywhere below, at the time, I didn't know about the Saints, but I was like, if y'all let me go 12 or below, I'm going to get drafted by someone else.
You drafted yourself?
And so I gave the Chiefs a little bit of info on that, because I wanted to be here.
Let's go!
That was Travis Kelce. Let's go!
That was awesome.
What an incredible story. How does Andy Reid feel about Matt Nagy now?
Right.
He's on his staff again.
Yeah.
And then Patrick Mahomes went and put that story out there?
Correct. So it tells you Matt can identify talent because he was charged with writing the report on the three quarterbacks, Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes. And he was exactly accurate on all three. Exactly. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. Great story, too.
Wish he could coach as a head coach. 312-332-3776. Danny is going to try and outdo Merkin and put money in your pocket. Merkin had a pretty interesting same game that he was putting together. We'll see if Danny can one-up Merkin and make you money. Next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
All right. Time for the Friday Folder. Hoodie likes to talk, man. I love the dude. It's family to me. But there are times he hijacks the show, Shay. You know that's true. And we can't get all of our stuff in because of Hoodie. So we created the Friday Folder. Shay, take it away, kid.
We got to start with the Washington Commanders, who made another misstep. They unveiled their Sean Taylor Memorial, and everybody hated it. Instead of building like a statue or
it was horrific.
Some nice memorial for Sean Taylor, they put what is effectively a Dick's Sporting Goods Washington Commanders uniform up in a mannequin and put the number 21 and the name Taylor on it and said, there you go.
Yeah, it was bad. It was creepy.
Wouldn't you think that if you're going to honor Sean Taylor, who might be one of the greatest players in your franchise's history, that you would have some sort of likeness to Sean Taylor, not a wire arm mannequin. And this is not the first time they have botched honoring him. Remember last year? They announced it 3 days ahead of time. Spray paint his number on
the field. And there wasn't like Jackson Mahomes
like standing on it. And it was also when they were honoring, I don't know if it was like their top 50 players in franchise history. It wasn't a standalone moment. The family was confused by it. That all came out after the fact. They had a chance to do something right this time.
And they screwed it up again.
It was like a moment from Curb Your Enthusiasm when that video of the unveiling comes out and everybody's cheering and excited and that's what's behind the curtain.
Everyone's like, oh my God.
Like they couldn't have. I think they're purposely doing this. I really think they are calculated in every misstep that they make. And usually I'm very pro if you have a franchise, like the Cleveland Browns, for example. You can't be a Browns fan and turn a blind eye to what's going on with the Deshaun Watson stuff and everything else, him coming back this week, playing the Texans, what have you. I feel like I got to tell Washington fans, just focus on what's on the field because abject failure, my favorite phrase, that is what your franchise is off of the field and everything around it, including this.
Yeah, completely. I remember you look at teams make missteps, and I love the Bears. You sign Andy Dalton, and you tweet out QB1. I was told Pace and Nagy got a call from media relations. This is not from us. Some social media intern put this QB1 thing out there. They were like, what? They didn't want that. But these missteps cannot happen. Well, when a deceased player...
And the thing was, there was no historical accuracy. Like, he wore Reebok back in the day, and he wore soccer cleats. They got that right. The top part of the jersey, or the jersey itself, was a Nike jersey, and that wasn't introduced, I think, until 2012
right.
in the NFL. Like, the least you could do was what Chase Allen did last year and tape up the face mask the way that Sean Taylor did on more than multiple occasions.
Correct.
It's just awful, but I don't expect anything less. They're a bunch of losers. Bad. Like, we know this about Washington. This is not surprising.
Courtney, you brought up last year they announced his number retirement a day before the ceremony.
They let the family know 3 days before.
The family had 3 days lead time. The fans had a day. They also announced it the week that the emails got leaked. Every time something happens that puts Dan Snyder in the spotlight, he uses Sean Taylor to get out of it.
Yeah, I've heard that Rivera's trying to coach his team. He's also been charged with fixing
the organization top to bottom. I think he hired his daughter to kind of be one of his eyes and the eyes and ears there.
I think she's on their social media team.
And they said he's trying, like, he plugs one hole, there's another.
He may be coach of the year for what he's doing. And this is a team that's 7-5, I believe.
And he just beat cancer in the last 18 months.
Yeah, I mean, think about their stretch the next couple weeks. They have the Giants back-to-back. They could overtake them for third in the division.
The Giants 2 weeks in a row.
They have a bye sandwiched in. They also have the week 14. But isn't that crazy? Like, the same opponent, divisional opponent, separated by a bye week. And they could be in third place in the NFC East. And in their way into the playoffs, I think you have to put him in the conversation as the front-runner.
No question about it.
Considering everything else that's going on around this joke of a franchise.
It's insane. Go ahead, Shay.
I've been looking for a place to slot this story in all week, so it ended up in the Friday folder. A Florida woman is suing the parent company of Velveeta's microwavable shells and cheese cups after claiming it takes longer to prepare the meal than the 3.5 minutes the box label says. Amanda Ramirez of Hialeah is listed as the plaintiff in the $5 million class action lawsuit that was filed against Kraft Heinz Foods Company. The suit alleges the statement of ready in 3.5 minutes is false and misleading because the product takes longer than 3.5 minutes to prepare for consumption.
I don't know what to think about this.
I don't either.
Wait, so she's saying because of you have to stir in, I don't know, how does this work? Like, is this like Instant Mac?
Goes on to quote the 4 steps to prepare the meal that are printed on the box. Just the length of time to complete one of several steps is 3.5 minutes, referring to the time it takes to microwave the product after having mixed in other ingredients listed in the previous steps.
So she's trying to get them for false advertising. Yep. Is this woman a lawyer? I'm gonna go ahead and say no.
I think she's not.
I don't even know how to feel.
I love that it's a Florida woman, because usually when you hear a Florida man, a Florida woman, like,
it's something really effed
just
up.
Stupid.
Yeah, terrible. Shay.
This was also supposed to be in works weekends. A man stole a working surveillance camera, and he got caught from video. He was in Tennessee. So he was arrested after allegedly stealing a surveillance camera. The camera was working and streaming live at the time of it being stolen. He didn't know this, so he recorded himself taking it, putting it in his backpack, telling his girlfriend that he stole it, and then selling it to another man.
You wouldn't make sure it was off first?
And he shows where his location, the whole thing.
Gave it away.
Moron.
It's a poor criminal.
Moron. Shay.
Have you seen this PointsBet commercial with Drew Brees thing, Cap?
Okay, so I haven't seen it, but Courtney did reach out to her friend who covers the Saints, who reached out to Drew. Now Brees says... here's Pro Football Talk. Brees now says he was not struck by lightning, as Courtney just said. If it was all staged as part of a misguided marketing ploy by PointsBet, that's not going to go well.
I believe it was a viral stunt, right? If you look at the video, it looks very fake. Off top.
Oh, entirely. Like the camera dropping. Like, I don't think the camera would drop if Drew Brees got struck by lightning, because it would be on a tripod.
Why is he down in Venezuela to film this?
It was some planned stunt. He tweeted earlier in the week he was doing a commercial from a top secret location, and then this video comes out only from, like, Spanish sources, and it's all over Twitter, and then it gets picked up domestically this morning, and immediately everybody's concerned, obviously, for his safety. The video shows him getting struck by lightning.
You have meetings. I've been in those meetings. Okay, here's the promo idea that we want to do. What do you think of this? Like, who signs off on that?
Did he? He would have had to if he stood there and got struck by lightning, which is not funny. Like, who's looking at it? It's a shock value. It's not like a funny thing. Drew Brees got struck by lightning. We're all laughing.
Correct.
My question is, if this is a stunt, who sees this on Twitter and goes, "That's where I'm going to gamble"?
I mean, you're talking about PointsBet,
right?
Yeah, we are talking about him.
We are.
Marketing.
Cap talks about them all the time.
I do. All right, we got to take a time out. We come back. We have the Cap and Jay Hood, Chicago Cut Steakhouse Cut of the Day, and a little bit more with Tracy Butler, the weekend weather. What's it going to be like if you're going to that Bears game? Be right back.
Mm-hmm.
jingle or the music bed for ABC 7. The only place I get my weather, that would be from the great Tracy Butler.
Right.
You got to turn around right over there.
Oh, I'm over here. That's my fault. Oh. There we go. I think Shay handled it, but I already botched this.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm so glad. I have not met Courtney in person before.
This is my starstruck moment. I was just telling Tracy my story of watching her every morning when I would wake up in fourth grade and watch ABC 7 starting. You guys were the first ones to start at 4 a.m., right?
Well, we're on at 4:30.
Okay.
We're still not at 4.
Okay.
But so 4:30.
So I was up early. And like, as like a 10-year-old, and I would watch you do weather every day and Roz do the traffic. Like, That to me was like peak Chicago media.
Oh my God.
When I was growing up.
I started watching you do the weather. I think it was in seventh grade.
Oh, shut up. Oh my gosh, you're such a brat.
Tracy Butler brought to you by Shady Rays. Okay, Sunday.
Oh.
I will not be out there.
Of course you won't.
I will be at work. I will be watching the game at TV.
Okay.
Courtney will be out there. What about the fans like Shay, who's experiencing his first Bear game ever?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Tell me the weather's going to be good. I've never been to Soldier Field. I'm going this weekend for the first time.
Yeah, like 74, 76. What are we getting?
Oh, are we playing in Miami?
That's a little warm for me.
I thought we were playing here.
We are.
Okay. All right. That's what I thought. 35 degrees at kickoff. We're going to have a west-southwest wind running at about 15 to 20 miles per hour. So you're probably looking at maybe some wind chills upper 20s. Mm-hmm. But at least it will be sunny and there completely dry.
Do we know, Cher, are you sitting in the sun? I think he's in the south end zone. Where will that
be? Okay. So you should be all right. I think you're going to be okay.
How about that?
Still
sun
gonna be,
rises in the east,
still
right?
Gonna be. It's still going to be windy, though.
It's a little milder today, Tracy.
Okay, so today?
Yeah. Like
it's going to get very windy. 53 this evening. You must have been watching me.
I was.
For once.
I always watch you.
Wow. Okay, I won't call you a liar.
I'm leaving.
Because it's the holidays. Anyway, so today's going to be very mild. And we are looking at temperatures today in the 50s this evening. Some rain is going to develop. Probably after about 7 o'clock this evening, move through here. By the time midnight rolls in, what happens overnight tonight behind this cold front, temperatures are just going to crash. Mm-hmm. So the cold front living up to its name, tomorrow is going to be blustery, cold, windy. But for Sunday, it is going to be mid to upper 30s the entire game.
Memo to all the clowns that say, oh, the fall is the greatest. Idiots. Morons. The other day, I got out of the house. I'm like, what the? It was so freaking cold. You got to be a moron to think the fall weather is better than the summer. Well,
but you FaceTimed me from your other job with Guff and made like a big scene about me saying November's better than August. I said October is better than August.
October's not better
than
August.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
We just had a 50-degree weather day like last week, right?
Last Saturday was really nice.
Yeah. This
50 sucks. 50 sucks.
The sun, no.
Let me ask you a question, jackass. Are you skiing when it's 50?
You can if it goes from 25
you
to
50. Ski when it's
50. Yes, you can. I skied my whole life.
You laying out? Absolutely
Who
not.
Who lays out?
Cap, I
my
skied.
My point. But when it's like 86, you're like, boy, it's beautiful. Cap, I'm going to go for a walk.
I skied in a t-shirt in Colorado in March. It was 60 degrees. Don't tell me you can't ski when it's 50.
Courtney, may I ask you?
Of course.
Can we like bring it back down?
Sure.
Okay. How do you prepare for the cold at these games when you're covering them?
I always have my heavy coat with me.
Yep.
I get gloves because I was in Minneapolis before.
Right,
so
exactly.
I was used to wind chills not a hellhole, just a very cold place to live. I loved it up there. But
I went to college up there. It's beautiful, but it's freaking cold.
It is. It is. Gloves, hat, scarf. I always bring an extra tote bag to put all of that stuff into at Soldier Field so it's not junking up the press box in my little station. But there's something about Soldier Field. I don't know if it's the grass and how damp it feels down there all the time, but it's like another level of cold, and I would assume because of the lake.
Do you
right?
use the hand warmers?
I do.
And the
hand,
yeah.
My lower extremities, like my feet go first.
Right. Absolutely.
So, guess what? If we play the freaking games either indoors or like Miami, you wouldn't have that problem.
You would not.
You're going to get your wish pretty soon.
That's it.
Playing indoors. I think football should be played inside, but that's just me.
It would be amazing.
Well, it's going to happen from what I've been told.
Here is the Cap and Jay Hood Chicago Cut Steakhouse Cut of the Day.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Let's get horny, baby. Horned Frogs. TCU wins it.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Well, their nickname.
Oh! Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
That's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, David Flom, Matt Moore. I love you. Tracy, I hope you have a phenomenal weekend.
I will. I absolutely will. I hope you do, too.
Big plans?
Actually, yes. Very big plans.
What do you got?
Well, I'm with a bunch of gal pals, and we're throwing a bridal shower for one of our best friend's daughters this weekend. So there's a lot going on. I know. I'm at that age where my friend's kids are getting married.
How about that?
Different stage of life. Yes.
Interesting.
So, yeah. That's my big plan for the weekend.
Hey,
it's going to be indoors, too, right?
It will, thank goodness.
One of Tracy's favorite moments on this show?
No!
Mike Zimmer, you going to his funeral?
Oh, my gosh. Do not get reeled in. Do not get reeled in.
I mean, we have like a minute left here. I do want to hear this, though.
Would you go to Mike Zimmer's funeral if he died?
Yeah, I covered the guy for 5 years.
Okay.
He plays this game, and I do not like it. It's morbid.
I really, really dark here at the end of the
show. Can I just say, talk to the hand cap. I'm such a big fan of you when you were on Around the Horn.
I appreciate that. Likewise.
I love it so much.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
A lot of fun.
Awesome.
Not going to Baskerville, huh?
Talk to the hand cap.
We got to start doing birthday party now that half the team ditched Russell Wilson's.
Yeah, correct.
You going to somebody?
Is that
I'm
a
not
big
going
deal?
To Cap's birthday party. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I had one this week. I took all the November birthdays to lunch. Shay's off the list for next year.
Oh, that's sweet.
How about that?
It's sweet that I'm off the list.
That no, that he took everyone.
Was very nice. Thank
we
you,
should God. Take Shay to lunch.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday. Currently 84 in South Beach. Take that. From Chicago.